I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network. Yesterday, as you know, a wave of bomb threats at Jewish community centers all over the country, including one in Milwaukee. The second time this has happened at the JCC in Milwaukee. A cemetery was vandalized in St. Louis, a Jewish cemetery. And this morning, the president spoke out about all of this. Finally, he had been criticized for not saying something about anti-Semitism in the past. Our guest this hour has one extraordinary life, Dr. Saul Friedlander. His latest book is Where Memory Leads, My Life. He won the Pulitzer Prize for General Nonfiction for his book, The Years of Extermination, Nazi Germany and the Jews, 1939 to 1945. He was born in Prague. His parents had to flee. They left him in a seminary in France where he became a Catholic because he was in a seminary. His parents were killed in the Holocaust at Auschwitz. He, as a result of all of that, had a very hard time figuring out who he was and what his purpose in life was. He became very interested in Judaism. He lived in Israel. He's lived in Germany, in Switzerland, and in the United States. And his latest book is the second part of his memoir. The first was done about 40 years ago. This one is Where Memory Leads, My Life. Saul Friedlander will be joining us in just one moment. But first, we do need to tell you that we can't have all these conversations, important as they are, without your support. Our winter membership drive is also going on right now. Scotty Myers, our producer, is here in our studios in Milwaukee. And you need to know that your support is an essential piece of the funding for all of the programs that you enjoy on WPR. And this drive is your time to take action. Become a WPR contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So I am happy to report that last hour we heard from 24
Excellent.
People who made pledges.
Thank you.
That beat what we were after by four people. So
Great.
Thank you so much. We are so appreciative of that. Right now, this is the deal.
Oh, we got one of those deals.
We got one of those deals, and I'm talking about a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000. So double your money right now. This is a generous match, and it's from a 9XM Leadership Circle members, Gene and Hilton Neal. And it means that they'll match every dollar that you give.
And on an important topic, too. It's a serious topic, but it's a very important topic, anti-Semitism and the rise of anti-Semitism and remembrance of the Holocaust. It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a great hour to do that. So double your support for the programs you love by giving now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So let's look at the old WPR budget pie.
Okay.
My mom makes a pretty good budget pie, by the way.
Does she?
secrets the crust. No, the biggest slice of our budget pie, seriously now, it's listener support. So while all of our funding sources, you know, the state and the federal governments and businesses, those are important, of course they are, but it's your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing service that it is, thanks to you, thanks to listener support. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've probably heard by now about our monthly giving program, and it's becoming very popular. It's easy to become a sustainer. All you have to do is set up automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or from your credit card.
That's right. It's that simple. But maybe you like to give during pledge drives to get entered in our exciting drawings.
And we're happy to report that all sustainers are automatically entered in the trip drawing that we're offering this drive and future ones. So you can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org. 888-202-2552 is the number for you to call.
This membership drive is the first of our centennial year, and we have something special for you. Your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for a WPR fandom package. It's our way of saying thanks for your support. This package is perfect for any WPR enthusiast. It includes top-notch electronics, tickets to an event featuring On Point's Tom Ashbrook, with added perks like dinner and an overnight stay in Milwaukee, and a bunch of great WPR swag. Find the details online at WPR.org. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Make your gift now. You'll support the programs you love and get entered in the drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this winter membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Lee Myers. Scotty Lee, asking for your support of WPR. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, it is the right amount.
Here's how the evolution of things typically go. Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors, and they do that for various reasons. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
Please pledge now. We've got that double your money thing going on. Mm-hmm. Those don't happen very often.
No, they don't.
Please, you know, if you give $60, it's worth $120, thanks to Gene and Hilton Neal. Very nice of you, Gene and Hilton, and a great way for you to double your money. Make the difference with just $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you feel is good for you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
WPR is your daily companion. We do shows about loneliness sometimes, and we hear from some listeners who maybe say that, you know, their radio, us.
Yes.
We're very important to the daily life, and this is why we do it, because we're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, maybe you're in the car or at the office or concentrating or relaxing, whatever you might be, we're here for you.
And like a good companion, you count on us for great conversation, intelligent conversation, and we count on you to support what you hear. That's how Wisconsin Public Radio works. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle members Gene and Hilton Neal. Thank you so much. Your gift of $50 turns into $100. A $100 gift turns into $200. So think about that. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We'll ask that you make a contribution. We also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. A suggestion, some may give $5 a month, some may give $100 or more a month.
Whatever that is, we'll use it to support the programs you enjoy, keeping your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong. So give now whatever amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is the time. Pledge when we've got that double your money going on. And while you're thinking about it, it just takes a few minutes to contribute.
And you'll get that good feeling of supporting the programs you love. Join, renew, or make an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dollar for dollar match is still in effect. We'd like 15 more callers.
Let's do it.
Before 3 o'clock this afternoon. So give now. Great hour to give. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Your support will go twice as far.
And support the radio you love and ask for the latest WPR t-shirt. I know some of you out there probably collect them drive after drive. Beautiful looking things. This one really shows off all the bureau stationed across the strait. It's a really fancy, nice looking thing. It's yours when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And don't forget, your gift of any amount is your chance to win the WPR fan package.
Linda from Oconomowoc sums it up nicely. I listen to WPR daily and enjoy the programs very much.
That's right.
That says it.
I like it. Support right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you very much, Scotty. We turn to a very serious subject right now. We can both do a pledge and talk about a serious subject in the same hour. Yesterday, there was a wave of bomb threats at Jewish community centers, including one in Milwaukee. It was the second time in this city. Another happened on January 31st and resulted, which must have been pretty scary for people. The center had to be evacuated for several hours. There have been 69 incidents at 54 sites in 27 states just this year alone. Hundreds of graves were vandalized at a St. Louis cemetery this week. The cemetery was founded in 1888 by Russian Jewish community in St. Louis to aid all Jews who needed burial, whether they had the money or not. This morning, the president finally spoke out, saying the anti-Semitic threats targeting our Jewish community at community centers are horrible and are painful, and a very sad reminder of the work that still must be done to root out hate and prejudice and evil. The administration has been criticized for failing to distance itself from extremist ideology and for emboldening right-wing groups through America First themes. We're going to be talking about the Holocaust. We're going to be talking about a wave of anti-Semitism. We have a lot to discuss with a very important historian. Dr. Saul Friedlander is with us. Saul has written two books of memory of his life, and his life has been a very difficult one and a very rewarding one. His latest book is Where Memory Leads, My Life. He won the Pulitzer Prize for General Nonfiction for his book, The Years of Extermination, Nazi Germany and the Jews, 1939 to 1945. He spent 16 years writing that book. He's a professor of history at UCLA. He's taught at many prestigious European universities. Born in Prague, with his parents had to flee to Paris, was hidden in a seminary, became Catholic, and had a different name, Paul-Henri Ferland. He almost became a priest. He discovered he was Jewish. He spent time in Israel, served in the army, worked under Shimon Peres, and received his PhD at the University of Geneva. He speaks Czech, German, Hebrew, French, English, writes in English, and thinks in French, and has a lot to say about the past and also about the present. Dr. Saul, thank you very much for being with us. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. And if you could call me Saul without the doctor, it would be easier.
Thank you. I'd love to do that, Saul, and I will do that. Why don't we start with this rise, because it's been striking here in Milwaukee and in many places in the country. What do you make of this rise of anti-Semitism, the vandalism, the hate speech that's been going on, all these JCC centers having to be evacuated? Why is this happening?
I really have no idea why there is a rise in anti-Semitism. There is manifestly something happening, but is it linked to the new presidency? Is it linked to the fact that the what they call the old right or the alt-right is very much in the public eye now? I have no idea, but surely having people like former editor of Breitbart, Bannon, very close to the center of power, is somewhat worrying.
Yes. How do we counter it?
By explaining to people what, I mean, not only denouncing what's happening, but also trying to educate people to the values which this society and democracy in general tries to defend. And it seems that there is a kind of weakening of the sense of what democracy means, which in itself then spills over into hate speech and so on. We have no idea, it seems, who is behind these attacks. It may be just in the, how can I say, in the mood. And given the change of government, let me put it that way, that is, right-wing ideas may well be coming back, America First, and hate speech all in all. But until we become clearer about who is behind it, is it one organization? Are these many organizations? Are these individuals? Or is it just a kind of mindset created by the new presidency? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we have to be quite vigilant and surely try to educate people to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Your story, Saul, is so moving and so unbelievable. Here you are as a very young child. And it's so important for young children to have a sense of where they are in the world and where they are in their country and where they are within their family. And it would appear that you lost all of that at a very young age because of the Nazis. Why don't we start with your being hidden in a seminary in France, how that happened?
Well, it happened because we left Czechoslovakia, at the time Czechoslovakia, now the Czech Republic, for France, because we believed that France was safe. You see, and that was a huge mistake, but who knew at the time that the Germans would invade and occupy France, at least the northern part of it, for years, and that the Jews fleeing to France would be as much in danger as everywhere else under German occupation. Now, in 1942, the Germans started rounding up Jews, first in the occupied zone of France, which was half the country, let's say, including Paris, of course. Mm-hmm. And then it moved to the southern part of France with the active support of French police and French government. Those who were targeted were not the French Jews, but immigrants, that is, those who didn't have the French citizenship. And we were without citizenship, if I may say. We were Czechs, but Czechoslovakia wasn't existing anymore, so our citizenship in any case was not recognized by the Germans or by their French collaborators. So my parents, in their panic, put me first in a Jewish children's home. I was not yet 10 years old. And within hours of my arrival there, the French police arrived and took all children above 10. So I was immediately rushed back, and they had no choice but put me in a Catholic convent, if you wish, seminary. And that's where I stayed during the war. They tried to move to cross the Swiss border, were arrested by the Swiss, delivered to the French, delivered to the Germans, and sent to their death in Auschwitz.
Oh, and you didn't know where they were?
No, I did not. I received a card from them for my 10th anniversary, which was October. They had been arrested in September, but that I knew only much later. And I saw from the card that there was no indication about anything familiar, that this was a card written much before. And until the end of the war, actually, until somewhat later, I didn't even know about Auschwitz, nor about the extermination of the Jews of Europe.
So you leave the seminary, and I'm not sure how this happened. You had a guardian. You were reunited with other Jews who were in France.
Yes.
And you had a guardian. I've heard you tell this story, which is amazing. You really, I guess I've read that you almost became a priest. You had been grilled in the Catholic faith for a long period of time, and now you discover you're Jewish, and you go to your first Seder. And it's almost a humorous story, what happened at the Seder, isn't it?
Yes, it's humorous, because I remained half, let's say, religiously. I still was somehow tied. You know, I'd been a kid of 10 when I entered the seminary. I was 13 and a half or something like that when I left. So it lasted for a little while. And at that first Seder in 1946, at my guardian's home in Paris, we had the storytelling, the prayers, and so on. And my guardian was observant. an observant Jew. And then came the eating, of course, and the soup was fine. When it came to meat, I said, I'm sorry, I cannot eat meat today. Why? Paul was my name. Why, Paul, are you ill? No, but it's Good Friday. So if a bomb had fallen on the house, it would not have been, it wouldn't have been worse. It's amusing.
Yeah, we need to find something that's amusing, yeah. Because there's a lot that's incredibly tragic. We'll continue our conversation with Saul, who's had a remarkable life. His latest book is Where Memory Leads, My Life, and it's about 40 years after his first memoir. He is a Pulitzer Prize winning and considered a preeminent historian of the Nazis, and has written a book. It's a two-volume book that chronicles that time period from 1939 to 1945, Nazi Germany and the Jews. He's uncovered many letters and really started, not was the first person to start this, but everybody realized the importance after he started doing first-person histories of people who had written about their accounts. He looks at the complicity among Germans. He looks at complicity with the Catholic Church, particularly Pope Pius XII, which we will talk about, who saw Jews being deported right under his window and yet did nothing. How could that happen? We will talk about that with Saul. Saul Friedlander is our guest, and we'll also have some time. I know we're going back and forth. We're also in a pledge drive, but we can do both here this hour because sometimes our topics are very important and very serious. Our phone number for you to join this conversation is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network. This is also Wisconsin Public Radio's Winter Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers, and we know it's a serious topic, but it's a very important topic considering the rise of anti-Semitism and the president making mention of it today. Our goal is to keep bringing you all kinds of topics, very, very serious and humorous sometimes, and it's your support that makes it happen. Please give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because 9XM Leadership Circle members Gene and Hilton Neal will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR.org. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're very passionate about bringing you two great hours of radio from 1 to 3, Monday through Thursday. Books, history, politics, social issues, education, dogs. We're here for you with important topics and fun topics as well.
And but we can't do it without your support. Listener contributions make up for 40% of our budget.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
And it's why we're asking for your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A way for you to share your passion for WPR is becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle with a pledge of $100 a month. It's $1,200 a year or more. We rely on member support to make great radio.
Gifts of $100 a month are important for our future. Help us stay strong and continue to grow with your leadership gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And please give this hour. We don't have this double your money thing very often. So this is, and we want to get back to the conversation with Saul. So please make your donation this hour. It's great. And your contribution will keep independent and public service radio on the air for you and the entire community for the next 100 years or more. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You heard Kathleen right. It's true. Wisconsin Public Radio began 100 years ago.
Amazing.
Technology, education, politics, and business have changed dramatically. And while the times are certainly changing, WPR's commitment to service, access, and opportunity for all remain at the core of our mission.
We can't wait to see what the future holds. And there's one thing that we do know, that your support makes the vital, trustworthy information you rely on every day possible. We only exist thanks to your help. So make your centennial gift right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Don't forget, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle members Gene and Hilton Neal. Your gift of 50 magically turns into 100, 100 turns into 200, and so on. So take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We don't expect any one or even 100 listeners to carry the cost of this program. There's really an advantage to having the bulk of our budget come from thousands of listeners like you.
And because of that, when we have wide base of support, it makes for our more stable organization. So join in, become a member. You decide the amount, $5 or $10 a month. It's a great starting place. And then pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can find out if your employer will match your donation. That's a good thing. You can pledge now and then ask your human resources department the next time that you get a chance.
And I'm told even retired employees can sometimes qualify for employer matches. So pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and then find out if you can get your pledge doubled by your employer.
Dollar for dollar match, Scotty, still in effect. Mm-hmm. We have six more pledges we'd like to get this hour. Please, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and your support goes twice as far.
Support the radio you love and ask for the latest WPR t-shirt. It's yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org. 888-202-2552. And remember, your gift of any amount is your chance to win the WPR fan package. And don't forget that we're doubling the money right now.
Thank you so much, Scotty, for all that you do. We're delighted to have Saul Friedlander with us this hour of the program. His latest book is Where Memory Leads My Life. His earlier memoir was from about 40 years ago. He is Pulitzer Prize-winning author, and he won the Pulitzer in 2008 for his book, The Years of Extermination, Nazi Germany and the Jews, 1939 to 1945. You've heard him talk about his early life, and we have much more to discuss with him. We also would enjoy hearing from you this hour. You can talk about the Holocaust, about his life, but also about the rise in anti-Semitism, which we've heard about more because of the wave of bomb threats against JCCs all over the country, vandalizing of a Jewish cemetery in St. Louis, and the reluctance of the president until today to talk about anti-Semitism, but he did talk today. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. So when did the transition come? I know you wandered a bit, and understandably so, to find out where you were going to be in life. Where did the profound interest in Jewish history, and particularly what happened in Germany under the Nazis, where did that come from, Saul?
Well, I didn't remain a Catholic.
No.
For 3 months, I became a communist. At the time, this was very much what youngsters did. I was 15. And then a Zionist, because don't forget, 48 is the year of the creation of the State of Israel. And before, the months before were so dramatic, so full of hope, I would say, for people who didn't know how things would turn out much, much later. I became a totally committed Zionist after my 3 months of communism, and escaped from my high school in Paris in 48, in June 48, and joined a group which then helped me to get on a ship to Alta Lena, and in June 48, that is a month more or less after the creation of the State of Israel, I came to, I was, I reached the shores of Israel, if you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And well.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I simply, you asked me more about interest in,
yes,
in Jewish history. This came, you know, slowly. At the beginning, I, during the years I'm mentioning and later, I was in the army and so on, I was more, I considered myself as an Israeli, and not, of course I knew Israeli and Jew was in that sense identical, but my Jewish, I didn't become in any way religious or observant or nothing of the kind. So I was a Jew without cultural or religious attachments, but totally Israeli at the time. I was in the army for 3 years, and then somehow nostalgia brought me back to Paris and to studies. But I worked at the same time at the Israeli embassy in Paris, so that my Israeli connection continued and went on to later years, working with Nahum Goldman, then with Shimon Peres, whom you mentioned, and who was at the time a deputy minister of defense. I worked at the defense ministry under his direct, he was my boss. And then I finally decided to get back to the studies. I had interrupted several times and got a fellowship. It was not so easy at the time, from Geneva University, if you wish. Went and left there. I had married in the meantime and had already a son. So we all, the three of us, moved to Geneva, my wife, my one-year-old son, and myself. And I chose this topic, but as if by chance, a topic of diplomatic history, but dealing with the Third Reich, that is, with Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the beginning of the process which led me from step by step to the study of the Shoah and of what happened to the Jews. That is my own personal history. Mm.
I'm very interested in the Catholic Church,
yes,
and the knowledge of the Holocaust. And you must have, I mean, you have an interesting perspective because there you were in a seminary and you almost became a priest. And then
yes,
you get this
yes,
information that that the Holocaust, that Jews were being deported from Rome right under the window of Pope Pius
yes,
the 12th.
Yes, it was actually something. People would say it was pure chance. It was not pure chance. I discovered in the documents I was reading about the United States, nothing to do with the Church, a misplaced document where the Pope, Pius XII, asked the German state opera orchestra, who was supposed to arrive in Rome within a month or so, to come and play for him extracts of Wagner's Parsifal in his apartments. Now, I looked at that with astonishment, I must say, because it was a demand made in December 41, just before the U.S. entered the war. But the Russian, everybody knew that on the Russian front, the Germans were killing civilians, Russians, and, of course, the Jews. Actually, in hundreds of thousands, 800,000 Jews had been killed by the time I was reading. By the time the Pope asked for this concert, so I was so astonished and so shocked that I decided once my PhD would be done that to come back and to try to work through these documents relating to the Vatican, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I published a book called Pius XII and the Third Reich, published in this country in 65, I think, in France in 64. And this created quite a huge scandal.
I'll bet it did.
Yes, it really did. And many people also who attacked the book said that I was ungrateful because in a sense the church has saved my life. And here I was writing against the Pope, who was at the time the head of the church. Well, I was also supported by many, and also by many Catholics, and by very high standing Catholics like Cardinal Tisserand, who was the head of the Sacred College of Cardinals. He was the cardinal in chief, if I may use that term, and in Rome. He was a Frenchman, but he wrote to me a letter saying it's good that truth be known, and that really is something coming from the head of the Sacred College. And he authorized me to publish that letter in the American edition of the book, Pius XII and the Third Reich. So, you see, something must have been hitting at the right place, even if some people thought that this was ungrateful.
Right. And there must have been something way in the back of your mind that must have made you say,
probably,
Saul, I could have been the cardinal-in-chief too, right?
That would be nice.
Well, what a life you've had.
Yeah.
Tell me about the letters, because you've also been getting a lot of recognition for relying on first-person narratives people who, Jewish people, of German people, to hear their stories during those years.
Well, that's a different. That took place many, many years later. I became in 67. We came back from Geneva, back to Israel. I taught for years at the Hebrew University and at Tel Aviv University. Later on, and during that time, I was very involved in Israeli politics. In the Palestinian issue and so on. And slowly, I wrote several books on Nazi Germany. It was, they were on very specific historical issues. And then I came to the, after being in Germany for some time in a kind of Institute of Advanced Study in Berlin, and having a few very unpleasant encounters with German historians, one of them argued, actually, that Jews were unable to write their own history, that is, their own history during the Nazi period, because they were so subjective. So that historian called Jewish writing about the period not only subjective but mythological. He spoke of a mythical rendering of history. So I got pretty angry and asked him whether his being in the Hitler Youth, he actually was in the party, but that nobody knew at the time, wouldn't also burden him and many of his generation, most of his generation, with a mythical memory of the past. So it wasn't very pleasant. And I decided, and that is the point really, that I would now sit down and try very late in life to write the history of the Jews during the Nazi period, which I did from 1990 onwards until 2006, that is the 16 years you mentioned. I devoted really all of my time, as much as I could, to teaching, of course, and commissions, things like that, and writing that history. Two volumes, the first dealing with the 30s, 33, Hitler comes to power, to 39, the war in Europe begins, and then, of course, the Holocaust, it's, as such, from 39 when the Germans invade Poland and start killing Jews and ghettoization and then extermination until 45, until the end of the war and the end of Nazism.
Is this unique in history, Saul, that German population, and there were so many complicit in this, really wanted to get off the face of the earth a whole group of people, all Jews?
Yes. Not the population, possibly. The population, part of the... We know today much more than I did know even 20 years ago. We know, for example, that 30 to 40 million Germans were aware of the extermination of the Jews as it took place. That is quite a chunk of the 80 million Germans and Austrians in one big country of the time. And, of course, in Eastern Europe, all this was perfectly known because it was seen in Poland and in occupied Soviet territory. And you had millions of soldiers around who wrote letters describing very precisely what they saw, letters to their families. So this is one, I mean, I decided to write that history from the angle of the usual description, that is, the machinery behind it, the people behind it. I speak of the Nazis now, the complicity of the population. But I also decided, because we were accused by, as I mentioned, of being so subjective, to introduce a lot of letters and of diaries of Jews of that period. Very often my diaries end in mid-sentence. Why? Because the writer has been killed. No, these are not diaries which were rewritten after the war. And I used very little memoirs, although I had written one in 78. I hardly used any memoirs at all. The diaries, some of them are very famous, Anne Frank, for example. Mostly they were unknown. They were known by small groups of specialists or people from some region. But yeah, there are hundreds and hundreds. And the voices of the victims introduce a dimension into that history which really was missed beforehand. Mm-hmm. And that creates a whole, I would say, new world of desperation.
Mm. Let's go to 2017 for just a moment, because our time is limited. I know that you have serious concerns about the direction of Israel, that it has a certain moral responsibility to live up to the reason that it was created, and it may be neglecting that responsibility. And I also want to hear you comment briefly on, if it can be brief, about comparisons between what's happening in the United States now and the Weimar Republic. I know comparisons have made, but start with Israel. Are you disappointed in Israel now?
Well, I'm not disappointed in Israel as such. I still remain very attached to the country, but I'm totally disappointed with the policies of Israel, which is quite a distinction, because you see on campuses, and you probably have that also at the University of Wisconsin, wherever, yes. Milwaukee or Madison. Mm-hmm. There are groups of students and teachers who have become very much militant against Israel. So how to draw the line between a condemnation of policies, which indeed were not the policies of the ideals of Zionism, let's say, which was certainly wanted a democratic society which would accept a Palestinian state after 67, and which slowly but surely turned into policies of expansion, I would say, or annexation, or methods which would not allow actually the Palestinians to get their own stayed next to Israel. Today it's almost its last moment, really. Mm-hmm. So all that angered me, and I expressed that when I was still teaching in Israel. And so, of course, there were people who were of the same opinion, but there were many who didn't share it. And today it's even worse because the government is totally on the side of, let us say, not recognizing the possibility of a Palestinian state.
Yeah.
Now, how that compares, I don't know. Maybe you will tell me what the question is that you have in mind.
Well, the question, and we only have about 30 seconds because we have to ask for money. We're going all over the place this hour.
That's important.
Is it right to make comparisons of what's happening in the U.S. to the Weimar Republic?
No.
Okay.
No. What's happening, we have an extremely stable, even a little bit too enthusiastic, maybe, economic situation in the U.S. We have an extremely stable democracy, the most rooted democracy in the world, maybe with England and possibly with France at times. The Weimar Republic was an attempt to set up a democratic government. It was the first attempt. It was a weak government born of defeat. And then came the horrible big depression. You had millions of people out of work in Germany. And Hitler had a field day, of course. It was he had a public which demanded law and order and whatnot, and being demanded to be taken out of the economic strait. So we are in a totally different situation, but surely we have a demagogic president, that is true, and one who seems to disregard one of the bases of democracy, which is a free press and reporting news as they are and not fake news. But he has not a chance, in my opinion, and he will ultimately either adapt to a democracy or go. Because the United States, with all its difficult moments and all its bleak aspects, is such a strong democracy that one cannot imagine anything else.
Mm. Saul, what a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much. All the best
to you. Thank
you
very much. Thank you.
Saul Friedlander, his latest book, his memoir, second memoir, Where Memory Leads My Life. This is the Ideas Network. This is, of course, Wisconsin Public Radio, and it's our membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Scotty Myers. Did you know that listener contributions are the single largest source of funding? So it's your gift that keeps the programs that you value, including this one, on the air. Make your contribution, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,000 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because 9XM Leadership Circle members Gene and Hilton Neal will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We spent much of the last hour talking with somebody who's really worth listening to, Saul Friedlander, a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, wrote Nazi Germany and the Jews, 1939 to 1945. Sometimes we do very serious topics. Sometimes they're quirky. They're always substantial. So please take a few minutes to make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose a gift that works for you, the amount, and then give us a ring. The number, I was going to give you the website. The number is 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role as a Wisconsin Public Radio supporter. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a way to do it. It's a growing group of listeners who contribute $100 a month or more, and they contribute to programs across the network that you hear all the time.
So pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll give you an amount, maybe $10 a month, maybe $20 a month, whatever amount you can.
Yeah, and when you become a sustainer, you choose a monthly gift amount and set it up to come from your bank account or credit card. It'll continue for as long as you like.
WPR may be one of those things you never want to live without, so you may as well support it with a convenient, sustaining membership. You can get started with a gift of $5 or $10 a month, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know you can get headlines and sound bites in other places. You're probably inundated with those. But where do you go for in-depth conversation and discussion?
You go here.
That's
because
right.
That's where you find it. Dollar for dollar match, in effect. We have as much as we can raise, we will do so. And how do people do it, Scotty?
They do it by going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. That phone number, once again, 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Scotty.
Thanks
for everything. And thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. We'll keep doing our best, and we ask you to do the same. Thanks very much to Colleen Duvall for producing this interesting hour, and to Colleen for on-air production as well. Thanks to Scotty Myers for all he does, and thanks to you for listening. This is the Ideas Network.